In the studio with us now, movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic, his website aisleseat.com, staff writer for Ranker. His appearance is always sponsored by the Campus Theater in Lewisburg. Super glad to see you. Welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you. Nice to see you as well.
I appreciate that. What is that on your shirt, the cat's eyes?
That is a cat. That is an image from a Japanese horror movie from 1977 called House.
Okay. Duh. Where's my brain? Of course it is. Okay.
It's obscure, I admit.
All right. No, come on. All right. So we know that you saw Terminator Dark Fate. What'd you think?
The last couple Terminator movies were terrible, so it's a pleasure to report that Terminator Dark Fate is pretty decent. I mean, you could stare at a blank screen for 2 hours and it would be better than sitting through Terminator Genesis, but that doesn't take away from this sequel's quality. The big plus here is that Linda Hamilton returns as Sarah Connor for the first time since 1991's Terminator 2 Judgment Day. She helps a cyber-enhanced being from the future protect a young Mexican woman who's the key to stopping a war that could wipe out mankind. Arnold Schwarzenegger is also back for this new chapter, which isn't really a surprise given that whole I'll be back thing. The plot takes a return to basics approach, essentially redoing the original with some new characters joining the existing ones. Although the movie doesn't break any ground in the story department, the action sequences are very well staged, especially a fight sequence that takes place inside a crashing airplane. There's also a cool new bad guy Terminator who can create a second skeletal Terminator from his human form. Best of all are the scenes between Hamilton and Schwarzenegger. Their characters have to work through some serious baggage from everything that's happened in this franchise. Nothing will ever top the first two movies, but Terminator Dark Fate at least proves there's still some life left in the series. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 T-1000s.
3 T-1000, that's what Arnold was originally?
He was a T-800. The T-1000 was the one that Robert Patrick played in Terminator 2.
Okay, so we got three. Okay, so three. So they pulled it back together with some new characters, some new twists, some new action?
Pulled it back well enough. I mean, the first two are the superior films.
That would be Terminator and what was the second one called?
Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Terminator 3 is a little hit or miss. There are people like me who like it. Some of the fans don't like it. Most fans agree that Terminator Salvation was really mediocre at best and that Terminator Genesis was terrible. So this one, I think, definitely brings the series back up a notch, back into the realm of, hey, I kind of enjoyed a Terminator movie again.
Could this be a great series of films if the next one is even better than this one?
It could, except that this opened really, really poorly. And they were going to make a trilogy with these characters and this general idea that they're addressing here, but now that is in jeopardy given the fact that the movie underperformed at the box office. And I think this is a case where it really was hurt by the last two movies. People kind of got tired of the Terminator. They felt like maybe there's nothing left to do in this franchise, and that might have dulled the interest in this one.
All right. Sleeper hit? Maybe it'll catch up?
We'll see this weekend, although it's got a lot of stiff competition at the box office. Maybe once it hits home video and DVD, people will catch it and its reputation will increase. I don't know. I mean, Hollywood tends to do this thing where they just try to keep these franchises alive, even after it seems like the audience has lost their interest. The Predator franchise is a great example. Every few years we get a new Predator movie. There hasn't been one of them that's been a genuine hit since the original Arnold Schwarzenegger one in 1987, but every year they try to reboot that franchise. The Terminator series has been kind of the same thing. They've been trying to find a way to keep it going, trying to figure out what audiences want from this in 2019, if they want anything at all. And my guess is that probably it'll go dormant again for a few years, and then they'll reboot it like 5 years down the road with some other new take.
Well, their goal is to make money. I know we talk about art and acting, but their goal is to be in the black.
Exactly.
So that's their shtick. That's why these things keep coming back, as you have told me. Okay, how's Linda Hamilton in this? She kind of apologizes for her performance a little bit, if you've seen some of the interviews.
She's actually really great in it, and I think bringing her back was the master stroke because the Terminator story, the overall saga, was always Sarah Connor's story anyway. She was always the central figure, and the problem was that she didn't return after Terminator 2, and they kind of moved Arnold front and center. You know, and he was one of the biggest movie stars in the world, so of course they did. But bringing her back is smart because I think that does return the saga to its roots a little bit more.
All right, and this airplane crashing escape scene, it looks exciting in the trailer.
That was great. The plane is crashing. It's doing a nosedive, so the characters intermittently achieve weightlessness. It's just fun and original. I haven't really seen an action sequence quite like that before.
All right, so we'll keep an eye out for that. All right, three...
T-1000s.
All right. Okay, so that was a previous Terminator. What is the this new one that can morph into two? What is that one?
That's called the Rev-9.
Oh, okay, so we're... Okay, so we'll look for that in the future. So, all right, so that's Terminator Dark Fate. New movies, why is this a big weekend at the box office?
It's going to be very crowded. We have four hot new movies opening and very diverse movies, too, starting off with Doctor Sleep. Years after the events of The Shining, the now adult Danny Torrance meets a young girl with similar powers and tries to protect her from a cult that preys on children with powers to remain immortal. So this is Stephen King wrote the Doctor Sleep book, which was a sequel to his The Shining, and now they've made a movie out of it. So it has a direct tie to Stanley Kubrick's The Shining, which is interesting because Stephen King famously hated that adaptation of his work, but he is said to like this new one very much. So,
oh, okay.
So that's Doctor Sleep, starring Ewan McGregor. For romance fans, we have Last Christmas. Game of Thrones star Emilia Clarke plays a young woman struggling to make sense of her life, and then she meets and falls for Henry Golding, the actor from Crazy Rich Asians. And the twist here is that the movie is set to the music of George Michael. So a nice romantic comedy to get us in the Christmas spirit. For history buffs, we've got Midway, which is a story of the Battle of Midway told by the leaders and sailors who fought it. That stars Woody Harrelson, Dennis Quaid, and Nick Jonas. And for the family audience, there's Playing with Fire. A crew of rugged firefighters meet their match when attempting to rescue three rambunctious kids. And this one stars John Cena, because every macho action actor eventually has to make a movie with a bunch of cute kids. They've all done it. Stallone did it. Schwarzenegger did it. Vin Diesel did it. They all at some point make a cute kid comedy.
Why is that?
I guess they want to show their softer side. They want to show that they can do a little more than just beat people up and be violent. So at some point, somebody comes to them and says, you should make a PG-rated kids movie.
And who's in this one?
John Cena, the former wrestler turned actor.
I probably know who he is, but I don't know who he is.
He's actually very funny. He's made some other movies. He was in a comedy called Blockers like a year and a half ago that was real funny. He's a talented guy as a comedian. So we'll see whether Playing with Fire can generate any laughs or not, but he's certainly funny.
All right, I assume you'll go see Dr. Sleep.
That's the first one I'm seeing, yeah. Seeing
I
that today.
Figured. Yeah, and should I rewatch The Shining and reread it before I go see Dr. Sleep?
It's possible. It might not be a bad idea to rewatch the original if you don't have a very strong memory of it. The thing that's exciting about this movie to me is it's directed by a guy named Mike Flanagan, who is not a household name yet as a director, but he has an incredibly solid body of work as a horror director. He's one of the most interesting and story-based horror directors out there. He made Ouija, Origin of Evil, and another Stephen King adaptation, Gerald's Game, which is a Netflix film. You can watch it on Netflix. It's absolutely phenomenal. So this guy is a major, major talent in horror filmmaking. And to see him tackle something like a Stephen King novel and really get an A-list potential blockbuster here is really exciting.
All right, so we'll keep an eye out for that. And Gerald's Game is on Netflix if you're looking for another good...
very intense movie.
All right, we'll have to check that out. Always looking for a good movie to watch and a good recommendation. Entertainment news, a little bit quieter this week. Reanimation of James Dean popped up midweek or so.
Yeah, there's a movie that's going to be made called Finding Jack, which is about the thousands of military dogs who were abandoned after the Vietnam War. And the filmmakers secured the rights from James Dean's estate to digitally recreate him as an actor in this movie. They're going to use CGI and take old photos and footage from previous movies and craft a whole new James Dean performance out of that.
And you can always tell at this point, is this going to be a cut above CGI so that it won't be obvious?
I've never seen them do a human that was 100% completely authentic. They've tried this sort of thing in other movies. What's more disturbing here is the fact that James Dean is dead. You know, he is not choosing to act in this movie. And the fact that they could potentially now take any deceased celebrity and create a new performance from them, I find that very, very disturbing.
Okay, so, yeah, and it is controversial. Yeah, this, we should probably point that out, that this is not receiving accolades, more pushback than anything.
And Hollywood celebrities are understandably leading the charge on that. They don't like the idea that maybe someday after they've passed away, someone could take their likeness and create a new performance that they didn't want to give. Because, you know, an actor makes choices in a scene, and they make choices in how they play a role. If you're doing it this way, as they are with James Dean, James Dean has no input into the performance. So therefore, it seems to me as being kind of bogus, and I can understand why celebrities might not want that to happen to them somewhere down the road.
I see. Okay, it could turn out to be their worst performance ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they weren't even there for it. So.
Right, or, you know, they could have a celebrity do something that they would not approve of doing in real life.
All right, and their legacy is important.
Yes.
Well, we heard the numbers this week came out for dead celebrities, how much money they make, you know, Elvis and all the rest of them.
It's amazing how much they can make after they've passed away.
Yeah, they make more money dead than I ever do alive. So yeah. It's a crazy situation. Anything else pop up in the entertainment news this week? I did not see anything that compelled me to get comment from you.
It was a pretty slow week, although the great French actress Catherine Deneuve suffered a mild stroke, so we certainly wish her well and hope that she will recover quickly.
She'd be 80-something in that range?
70s, 80s.
Okay.
Maybe
70s,
I think.
Well, she finds out I overestimated her age, I'm in trouble. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Movie Mike McGranahan, of course, he's an author and a movie critic. He's a member of the Critics' Choice Association, so when you watch the Critics' Choice Awards, remember Movie Mike put in his 2 cents in there, his appearance sponsored by the Campus Theater, Lewisburg, PA.